She needs to be coming home today, man. She's been gone too long. So hoping she gets back today, she will. And but send her your regards, amen. Pray for her to get traveling mercies all the way home. Welcome our first-time guest to Living Faith Church, amen. All right, second time. Give them a good hand, amen. You know how tough it is to walk into a church and, amen, they did get greeted, but we need to welcome our people, amen, when they come in. They're part of the family. Faith that you can see is living faith. Faith as we gather, grow, and go. Welcome the Facebook Live audience right now on live feed. Do you have your message notes with you? You'll need them. If you don't, raise your hand, and we'll get an usher really quick to get you those. 100%, 100%. Everybody have them? You need them? Okay, we have a couple of people. Thank you guys for our guys on spot duty. Just do that for us, and that'd be great. They call it, we're in a new series called the Final Words of Christ, and Jesus had his worst day on a day that we called Good Friday, and so the Friday that he had that we made really a holiday about called Good Friday wasn't a good Friday for Jesus. It was his worst day. It's actually the worst day that any human being could ever have, because what he went through in a 24-hour period, a 12-hour period, was a beating, being nailed to a cross, being bullied, punched, crown of thorns on his head, hanging on a cross, insults, so many other things. Because of his worst day, we can have a good Friday now, right? And so the thing, what Jesus said, because it wasn't like a bus hit him all of a sudden and he didn't have any more words to say, a sudden death, a massive heart, wasn't any of that. What happened to Jesus was he knew exactly, because he was full spirit, full man, never has there been a man like Jesus, he was able to calculate what were his final words were going to be from God, from Son. I identify with my Heavenly Father. So they were God words to us on how we should live our worst day. In a 24-hour period, 12-hour period, Jesus quickly got identified, betrayed, injustice, beat, bullied, and he was innocent. In our lives, we go through betrayal, and it sets us back maybe 12 years. Bullied, it sets us back. We can't recover from that. Jesus recovered from all that, and he went through it as a perfect man, so we would have strength to go through it on our worst day, our bad day. We would know how to do it because he modeled it. Do you understand that today? And he made these statements that were so incredible on the cross that we live off of them today. And I want to take those all the way to Easter with us today as we march towards Easter on that Good Friday, when we really have a Good Friday, on the statements of Christ. Last week we learned of the statement, the very first one that he said out of his mouth when they dropped the cross into the hole was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And if you didn't catch that, catch it on our website or on Facebook. Go back to the archives on our Living Faith Facebook, and you'll see that today. Well, this statement that he's making, the next one was, he was with, if you ever look at the silhouette or the art piece of the crosses, there's always three of them, right on Calvary's Hill. And they paint them and use beautiful art pieces. Well, the one in the middle, of course, represents Christ, but the two on the side are other thieves and criminals that got their just due. And so he begins to have this dialogue. They're having their bad day too. They're on the cross. They may have deserved it, but how many recognize it's a bad day for them also? And so that's where we go right now in Luke chapter 23 on the big screen or in your Bibles, verse 39. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." And the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when he has been sentenced to die? We deserve our deaths for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." And then verse 42 says this, he turned to Jesus and he said, "Jesus, Jesus, remember me." And I'd just like to pause right there as you show me the next slide. And people are waiting for you to remember them right now. In the grocery store, in your neighborhood, on your school campus, wherever you work at, people want you to remember them this week because they're having bad days. They're struggling right now. There might be some in this church that are sitting next to you and you don't know about it, but they're struggling, and people are all around us that have needs. He says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you today that you'll be in paradise. So there is our Jesus in the stations of the cross, and two criminals are beside him that have their just due. And one of them is looking at life perspective right, in the right way. It's amazing how two people can look at bars, and one will see the sky and others will just see, that's the bars, man. I'm never going to get out of here. And one will see a bird flying and say, one day I'll be free today. It's just a matter of the way you look at life today. How can we see past our bad day, just like Jesus, the incredible Savior that He was, and still minister to people when you're having a bad day? Not that everything gets shut down. I can't even function right now. I have this tremendous migraine. Yeah. Well, Jesus had a crown of thorns on his head. And so we really can't give that. I mean, if you're a Christian, you should be about what Christ is. Not perfect, but that's a model towards us to march on, soldier on, even with war wounds of what we do today. Amen. You look past your bad days and you say, this is where God's at right now. It's in this struggle that is with this other brother, our sister. This brings success to your life. I like to look at people that I admire in ministry and things that I do, just like you do that own a company, or you have models before you. And I think they can never have a bad day. They're successful. Look at their families. They live this way or that way. They've never had somebody that they've lost or been given that bad report by the doctor. No, they have. And the reason why they're successful is they march on. And they keep going on. God gave them the lemonade, gave them the lemon, and they made lemon meringue pie. Can I give you that this morning? Are you hungry? They just turn things around, and they keep, and it may not look good, and they may say, I'm hurting, but God's still good. God's still helping me. God's providing. It's just the attitude of a winner. And that's why the first thought that is in your handout today, and you that are listening to me, help others who are experiencing the same struggle today. It's a powerful principle on how to focus on someone else, not yourself today. I gave you three principal things right there in your message notes today on what you should do to help others when the struggle is happening in your life and in their life. And this is the first thought on the screen and in your handout. Somebody say, it distracts us from our own needs. I know you don't believe this, but do you know this morning that I woke up and I wanted to stay in bed, not come here? Did you know this morning I had to put my socks on one at a time? Did you know this morning that I'm glad I had a toothbrush because I woke up with bad breath? Because I'm human just like you are. And so what makes me sometimes, because during the week, sometimes things come, bad doctor's report. I've had those in my history. I've had things go on in my family just like you. I've had things that are shortcoming. I've had great disappointments, all just like you. But you know what? Things that help me out on what I say, Wednesday night is coming. I got to get ready. The people are coming of God. And my wife is coming home. I have to get my act together. Do you know what I'm saying? My children need me right now to be the example of faith in their life. And so Sunday morning, I don't know how many marriage series I've been on with you as a congregation. And we've been fighting all week, and it's her fault. And I say, yeah, hey, honey, it's Saturday, you know, and I got to preach in the morning about marriage. Would you be my friend today? Hold out my hat. Come on, help out a beggar here, you know, because I know I got to get my act together, so to speak, not fake it, but I got to get it together because God's people are coming and there's needs, how it's helped me. And that's what will happen in your life and in our lives together is we say, I got to get my act together because there are people I'm going tomorrow to school, middle school, high school. They're going to be students that are in needs for the young people here. My company may have needs today. Amen. Yeah, and so I'm sorry you're cold. We're going to get that thing right. I know I see you and I feel it, but y'all are okay, right, the majority of you? Amen. Amen. Just time of that year, right? Help us to see the solution today is the second principle today. And that you're blind to things that we can't see in front of us because of the pain. Do you recognize that? Sometimes the pain hits you so hard that man, I can't. But when you see it in someone else's life, man, you don't get that. All you got to do is this, this, and this. But you didn't see it 2 weeks ago. You didn't see it a month ago or a year ago, but you see it in somebody else. Because pain has a way of blinding us, and you can't see because of the forest right in front of you, but you can sure help out somebody else get it. Do you know that? That's why you should help out people that are struggling and serve people, right, everybody? And the other thought is, it allows me to keep everything in perspective today. Things aren't as bad as they seem. You want to sing that song? It's been a hard day, night. And I've been working like a... Yeah, y'all know the gospel, amen? I'm the one, Lord. I'm the only one going through this that ever's gone through this. No, you're not. Yeah, you're going to get through this. It just helps you to see everything when you help people. You realize when you help other people, when you serve other people that are struggling, man, I'm really blessed. Look how blessed I am today. And so the adult daycare ministry is on Fridays. And when I walk in, I'm blessed because we serve. It's a serving small group. But you know, there's groups that you can serve in our church, even on Sunday. The children's ministry needs people to serve our children. The youth ministry still needs people to serve them and bless our young people today. I mean, I can't serve them. I'm not cool. All you got to do is listen, amen, to their stories, amen. You don't need to be cool, amen, because they'll tell you that you're not cool, like they tell me, right? You know, our music team still needs servants of the Lord. There's still a song that hasn't been sung, and you have the ability to sing. God's given you that. There's still an instrument that hasn't been, and you have an instrument that you could play, and it still hasn't been done. This coming week, Wednesday, at 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock, there'll be this clothing ministry that we call the Living Faith Closet. And what they do is they begin like probably 10:30, 11, and they pull out things from this shed that they have right here, looking out this way, and they put it into this little car, the mini SUV, and they take it all the way to the front, back and forth. Two ladies are working, men come help. But you know what they need? They need a pickup truck at about 11 o'clock, 10:30. See Linda today, and she'll tell you about it. How about at 8? Wow, thank you, Jesus. That's some amen. Didn't want to preach that good. Give me a good amen. They need a pickup truck, man. And then they need a pickup truck about 5 o'clock. Yeah, so they can take all the stuff back that didn't get given. Because, and you know what also that they need that they would love to have? People that are bilingual that show up about, you can speak Spanish. God's giving that ability. Between 1 and 5, you'd show up and you'd be a soul winner. You'd say, hey, come see our church. Ven para acá. Mirad la casa de Dios. That good, amen, that good. And you're showing them the temple of the Lord, and you're showing them what God's done, and you're soul winning, and then you're leading them to Christ in prayer. Because Linda and her help, they're putting everything together. They're trying to get close to the people that are coming, and they're busy. Oh, how we need help. And how you could serve people and you could walk away just feeling blessed and pumped up. I know many of you work, but some of you don't. And you could come today. You could come this Wednesday and be part of that. Is that okay with everybody? Make sure you see Linda serve someone today. Amen. It'll be a blessing to your life. I remember years ago, many, many decades ago now, I went on a mission trip with the young people. I was a youth pastor. That's when I was cool, right, everybody? And we went to the border of Mexico, Brownsville, Texas, and right across was Matamoros, and they had an AIM mission. And the mission there was they built houses for people that were across the border. And so the guy took me in our mission group in the van. He said, we're going to go to the city that is within, really you're not going to recognize it. So we went past the paved roads, and we got on the dirt roads, and then we got on beyond dirt roads that were just like mud because it had rained, and then we got to trash heaps, landfilled, and you could still see it steaming, where it was smoking, and it was just but we finally got in the middle of all this landfill area was colonias, which was like barrio areas that were just dilapidated homes, and so they took the trash from those dumps and made their houses. And so I saw refrigerator boxes, big boxes, that were formed like houses, and people, families lived in. I saw five people living within something that was like a bunch of refrigerator boxes, cardboard boxes, and they'd made it into a home. And it had just rained. And the streets were not streets like sidewalks like we have. They were mud. And we were walking through that. And no sewer system, no septic. And so we were walking through a lot of stuff today that they lived with. And so when we got there, they gave us the assignment. All the kids in the youth group there, they had to raise money to build a house for somebody in that village. And what they would do, the pastor of the church, which was, by the way, the church in that community was the nicest building. They had the cinder blocks all the way around. They were believing God for the roof, but they had a solid foundation and the cinder blocks. And by now, after all these decades, they're probably a roof. And they said, you know, this is a house that the last group, the mission group, the youth group built last year. And I looked at that group. I looked at the house. I didn't know how it was going to be built. They were going to teach us how to build a house. Bob, the builder here. And I was a youth pastor. He said, you're going to build a house kind of like that. And I looked at that house. I didn't want to say anything. It was nicer than the rest of the cardboard. But all it was a shed that you would have in your own backyard. The shed, by the way, that you have in your own backyard is nicer than that shed that the Home Depot dropped off there for us, and we were going to put it together with the assembly kit. And so we began to build. And I noticed the lady that was coming with her four children was kind of coming and thanking us. And I learned her story real quick. She was part of the church there, the nicest building. She would attend that congregation. And the pastor saw that she would volunteer and give her time. He said, she deserves a home. And if y'all could build her a home, it would be a blessing. So we built her a home. And we built it 4 days. What I noticed during those 4 days, where was the husband? The husband was away. I thought maybe he passed away. But here comes this man that comes in and checks in. And he looks at us doing what we're doing. And you could tell it like shamed him, his pride. You're building me a house. I should be doing that. You're going to do this for my family when I should be doing that. And he'd walk away. Later on, during the 4 days, he suffered with some strongholds in his life. He was an alcoholic, other things that went along with that when you open that door. The very last day, we fall in love with the children. We fall in love with the village that's there. And the house is finished. And I remember putting the door on, and it was a swing door with this little latchet on the inside that we built, and we put the lock on and screwed it on, and it was just this amazing experience that I had with my young people. We're holding hands and we're dedicating the house, and we're blessing the house, and we're anointing the house and blessing the children. And here comes Dad, the husband, walking up, and he gets right in the middle of the circle. He gets our hands and he holds them. We bless him. We lead him to Christ there in that circle. We walk away and we're crying like big dogs. Our heart is broken because we want to stay there, but we know we have to get back because the fifth day's up. And I'll tell you what happened, man. We crossed that border. We were in Brownsville, Texas. The first place those young people wanted to go, and the youth pastor was Whataburger, baby. We had eaten... Just, you know, you talk about that hand sanitizer. Man, I remember, you know how you're afraid to touch that thing you throw away your stuff in at Whataburger or McDonald's, fast food stuff, the trash can that has that thing. Man, I remember the young disciples that were with me, they just put their hand all the way in there and chewed their hamburger. If we didn't get sick yet, give me a good amen, we weren't going to get sick. And I learned, man, when I got to Whataburger, God bless America. It just put everything in perspective. There's somebody struggling a little bit more. Recently, during the winter months, my mountain laurel on the side of my house was encroaching on the roof and messing up my roof pitch right there. And so I had this guy come with a high ladder. He was an arborist. He's a Christian guy, good Christian man. And he's trimming and making it sure that it's not going to, you know, not going to hit the roof anymore to cause more roof damage than it already did. And I'm going to leave them there, man. I'm finally, you know, and so I'm backing out of my garage, and I got this garage opener it's about 15 years old now. We bought it when the house put it installed. But it needs a healing, the garage door now. It's just not working like it used to. So whenever it gets cold, I went on YouTube and tried to look at it. It doesn't work. I got to keep pushing the button, and it keeps like, you know, stuck and goes back. And I got to keep holding it. It's a pain. And so I'm kind of embarrassed. This arborist is looking at me struggle, putting my garage door down. He's a good Christian. And he sees me, and it's not going down. And he goes, "Oh, well, first world problems." And I go, "Yeah, bro, you're never so right, man." You know how many people would want to live in my garage that are in Mexico, let alone in Africa, that would want just something like that? Not even have a garage door opener, right? Yeah. We can say we're better off than most, beloved. If you're at Living Faith this morning, you're in this room, you're better off than most. You're not in the hospital, right, everybody? I know when I say within myself and you say within yourself, "I'm going to help this person that's struggling," you get God's attention. He's all over that. That's where God, and you do it to the least of these, you've done it. That's where Jesus is at. That's where he shows up for miracle living in your life today, right, everybody? You need to organize your life so that you're okay. You're going to be taken care of. Nobody's going to try to take away your savings account today at church. We're going to receive the offering later. None of that. No. But you need to organize yourself that you're still a blessing. I'm going to have enough, but I'm going to be a blessing now to other people around my circle of love today. The local church that we have here at Living Faith on this property, there's just a principle. And the principle is, you want help? Help others. And we do it strategically because we know that's the only way that you're going to get help. "I need help, brother." No, you need to help other people so you get help. It's not that we're selfish or we don't feel your pain. We know how we got help. I got help because I helped other people. You get better, you get out of the hospital because you start helping other people. Right, everybody? And so help yourself, amen, by helping people. Give me a good amen. I didn't put these in the handout, but they're just some thoughts I have. I've noticed that when you help others, you do that through your gifts and your passions. You can take the Growing in Faith course. Growing in Faith classes are free. They're beginning again. And soon they'll do that spiritual gift analysis test. It's not hard. You just, by the questions that they ask you, by the chart that they give you, you discover your passion, your gift, and your heart today. It's your element. You know, birds have wings. And that's their element, they fly. You have a spiritual gift, at least one gift that everybody in this room is, your heart's beating. And when you discover that gift, it discovers your purpose and you get to do it. The second thought about how you help yourself, really how to help others, is you do it by your mess ups. People don't really preach that. You do it with your baggage. See, everything that you've gone through, all the mess ups, it's to make your ministry. You do ministry. When you have I'm divorced, I was bankrupt, I've gone through alcoholism. If I was an alcoholic, you know who I wouldn't want someone talk? I wouldn't want the perfect person talking to me. The guy that gave me 3 steps to overcome. I would want the victorious alcoholic to say, "This is what I've gone. Brother, this is a journey. Let's go on it together. I'm going to pray for you that you get victory. Look, I got victory. God's not a respecter of person. This is how we do life today." Amen. That no perfect people. Everyone has issues in this room. And if you don't say you have an issue, that's your issue. And everybody can't stand you. Amen. But we still love you anyway. No perfect people allowed. Right, everybody? Yeah. Isaiah 58. Why don't you go ahead and repeat that after me? Say it out loud, not out soft. Let the Facebook audience know, amen, when we put it on the screen. Read it out loud. It's in your handout on 3. 1, 2, 3, go. "If you spend yourself in the behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in darkness like the noonday. The Lord will guide you. He will satisfy you. You will be like a well-watered garden." Yeah. So you had a bad day. The night's come. There's darkness all around you. And God says, if you spend yourself on the behalf of those that are hungry, those that are oppressed and harassed, it turns like light into darkness. And the noonday will arise out of nighttime. And Oh, those that reaped in the sowing of tears, amen, you'll have joy in the morning, amen. Because you're bringing water to others, amen. God says He waters your own garden right here. Your springs that never, you have a perpetual harvest in your life, amen, because you didn't give up. How you can help others today, amen. You're called by God to help that one that's struggling, your brother, your sister, that are all around you today. There's this funny story about a guy, and he's drunk, and he's a drunkard. He gets on the bus real late at night, and he staggers up an aisle, and he sits next to this elderly Christian woman, and she's been baptized in pickle juice. She's mean, but she's a Christian. And she looks at that drunkard as bad drunken breath, alcohol, and she says, "I got news for you. You're on your way to hell." And that drunkard goes, "Oh no, I thought I was on the bus to Austin, Texas." You see, people know they're going to hell. You don't need to tell them. People know that they're lost. People know that they're hurting. We don't need to tell them that. Do you know that? We need to tell, look, I struggle too. I'm not perfect, but I sure know the way out of this hell hole, right? I know all the way out right now. We're going through hell, man, but we can get out of hell together. Let's get out, man. That's what people need today, right, everybody? I unpacked the second statement that Christ made on the cross, and I did that so you would take the meaning of what God needs to give you for your mouth and heart towards a struggler so you can help other people today. And so the first thought, write in your handout today, so easy, I gave you the answers. Offer them stability. Number one, offer them stability. A struggler needs to know, man, in the world that's changing, man, there's sure ground. There's a solid word here. Assuredly, I'm sure of this, Jesus was saying. If there's one thing I can bank on, it's this. I'm going to say to you right now, this is what's sure. Right, everybody? Life is rapid. It's so unclear. It changes. We have hurt. We have struggle. But one thing I know, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I wish somebody would help me with that. Amen. Man, times change. One day they're wearing bell bottoms. The other day it's skinny pants. Right, everybody? What are you going to do with your wardrobe now? Culture changes. But you know one thing that doesn't change? God doesn't change. I'm so glad He's timeless. And that's what the psalmist wrote. He wrote this. King David said, man, He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud, the mire, and He set my feet on the rock, right? He gave me a firm place to stand. I was dying, in other words, but oh, when I see how I slipped and I was horrible in that horrible place, somebody lifted me out. His name was God. God Almighty helped me today, right, everybody? And He can do the same to you. I don't need to always have the answer. There are terrible things that happen to people all around us. Sometimes you just got to stand with people. And when your mouth does open, you don't need to give them the three things, the spiritual, you know, road to Romans. All you got to say, look, I don't know all the answers, but I do know this, that God never changes and God loves you. And I can point you towards a Bible that has answers. I can lead you to a church and I'll sit by you. I'll help you. I'll be part of your life in that church today. I'll be a friend during that time today. I can pray a prayer and you may not know all the fancy words. You may not be a but you can say, oh, Jesus, help us. Everyone can do that in this room, right, everybody? Lead them to God. Amen. The second thought is this. Offer them support. In Luke chapter 23, verse 43, I love the New King James Version. It says, today you will be with me. In other words, bro, I'm not going to leave you here on the road. You and me, we're going together on this thing. We're on a journey together, you and me. You're not going to do life alone today. You can't do life alone. You have to be. That's why small groups at Living Faith are so important. I can assure you, a small group is the way. If you need life in this room, that are you get plugged into that, you'll find the resources of heaven. That's why we're struggling. I'm speaking a word to someone in this room. This is what you've been looking for, a small group that you can be part of. There's this guy, the youth ministry raised great faith yesterday and money at the breakfast that they did. Thank God that they did that. And they blessed us. They blessed our young people by doing that. The young people were serving. Well, while I'm there, one of the people that is eating is part of our church. And he comes to me and says, man, Pastor, I got a new house. Got this garage. I made it into a gym. I want to bring guys over so we can work out together and have a small group that way. I said, man, that's so cool. Would you do that? That'd be great. He said, yeah, I'm going to do it. I said, well, do it, man, and I'll help you in any which way. Just begin in a prayer and then, you know, read a scripture. And then the rest of it, y'all bust those weights, man, pump the weights and do all this. So you get to look like Nava, amen? Hey, I forgive you, okay? I forgive it. And so you know what might not happen if you go to that group if he has it? You know what? You may not get cut. You may not get pumped. You may not, that, but I guarantee you this will happen. You will get a friend. You will have a friend if you go to that small group. You will get a friend. That's why I'm so thankful when I go to the adult daycare group on Fridays. I wanted to go in there, and my heart is with those people, just like every servant of the Lord that goes. I want to lay hands on those that their mind is weak, they're hurting, and their mind is broken, and they're infirmed. I lay my hands on them regularly. I pray for them. And I want to see spontaneous healing to happen in their lives, just like you do. Amen. And that has tarried up to this moment, but I'm believing. But you know what has happened? Because I've gone in there, I have a friend like Harvey now. I have a friend like Ralph. Ralphie, we call him Ralphie. Ralphie, if I saw Ralphie in the mall, you know what he would do to me? He would hug me. When I grew a beard, he said, you're Santa Claus. I said, what's up with that, Ralphie? Williams is another man. He can hardly talk, but he talks to me, and he's my friend. I made friends at the adult daycare, and so can you. If you're part of a small group, the wisest man in the Old Testament, he was smarter than all of us in this room. He knew what it was to go alone, and he knew it was foolishness. And that's why he wrote in Ecclesiastes 4:12, a person standing alone will be attacked and defeated. Yeah, you walk down that dark alley, you may have a baseball bat, but there's some other brothers in there that don't like you, and they got 20 baseball bats. So you shouldn't do that. It says, but look, but if you stand back to back, right, you conquer. I got your back, you got mine. We're going to watch out for each other, right, everybody? Are y'all having fun today in church? I'm glad I showed up. How about you? I got your back, amen. But look at this, the three. Are you even there with me, yeah? It's a small group. Or even better, it's that triple branded cord that's not easily. I got your back. Do you know even children that are in elementary school that don't have the life skills that you do or the smarts, they recognize love? Children do. They're the purest form of it, aren't they? Before they get messed up like us. That's why when a child that you see on the news, a classroom happens and the child gets leukemia in that classroom, that's why the rest of the children, when their hair falls out, his hair falls out, or her, they all shave their heads and they're on the news. Because they recognize a fellow struggler, that their brother and sister in that classroom, they're struggling. I'm going to be like you during this time today, right, everybody? You're not going to go through this by yourself. I'm going to be with you. And that's what somebody does that loves God. The third one is this. They offer salvation to them. They can't get saved by you. They can get saved by you. Jesus is the one that saves. In Luke chapter 23, verse 43, in paradise. I looked at the Greek word that translates that to our English language the best way. Paradise is good, but it means resort. It means that stay vacation that you get, not at home, but you get it at that timeshare condo. It means Hawaii, that powdery, sandy beach that has the blue waters. That's what it means, that you finally get rest from all the hell that you've been going through from this earth, that you're finally going to get rest. It's not too late for you. Let me announce that to you right now. It's not too late for your son. It's not too late for your daughter, your family members that are far away. You can still offer them salvation. You're here at this hour right now. And you know why you can do that? Because you're the one that's going to offer that. It's not too late for you to offer them that. God's brought you here so he could give you that assignment, that mission, so you could walk with them and you could offer them something today. It's tough right now, but heaven is coming. It's going to be a better day. We have this American gospel in America that we preach, and it's tainted. It's not right. And we say, sometimes things work out for us here in America. We pray and God works it out, but sometimes they don't. But there's always heaven. And that's what we aim towards, right, everybody? And that's what we look towards because we're so spoiled there. We want it to work. The people in third world countries, they don't have MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston that you can drive to. They just got a prayer. And if it doesn't work out for them, you know what they look forward to? Heaven. And heaven's better than any hospital. Give me a good amen. Amen. As much as I love San Antonio in March, it's, by the way, colder, warmer on the outside than it is in this building, right? as much as I love San Antonio in March, 70 degrees, man, we have an awesome city. I don't like it so much in August. How about you guys? But what, heaven is better than San Antonio in March. The climate's better today. Jesus gave people, instead of this now moment, he gave them a moment. He said, you know, there's something to look forward to. And that's what the gospel was all about. And that's why he told them. The final scripture on the screen, as we read it out loud, not out soft. Come on, some of y'all help me. The spiritual people are going to read out loud with me. Right, everybody? Amen. On three. I got about five amens. I don't know about the rest of y'all. Here we go. Last one. Let them hear you. Amen. Right now. Let them hear your voice as you declare this verse. Jesus is speaking. On three. One, two, three, go. Do not let your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house are many rooms. I am going there. And so in heaven, when there's a bad day, because the disciples saw, oh, it's not going to work out for us. Oh, you're not going to be president of the United States. You're not going to occupy the White House. You're not going to become king. I'm not going to become your lieutenant. I'm not going to be vice president. It's not going to work out for us. Jesus said, man, don't let your hearts be troubled. Keep trusting God. Heaven's coming. Heaven's a whole lot better than the kingdoms of this earth, right? In heaven, there are no hospitals. In heaven, you don't have to lock your door. The security system's not needed on your car or in your home. It's not needed in heaven, right, everybody? In heaven, the health care, the Affordable Health Care Act is not needed by Republicans or Democrats. They don't need health care in heaven, right, everybody? As much as we need heaven, as much as we need that here on this earth, thank God for it, we don't need it in heaven, right, everybody? And so that's why Jesus is saying this, the final thought, amen. It's Wingstop fries forever. Heaven is like that, and you don't gain weight. The diabetes doesn't hit you. Wingstop fries with that little seasoning they put on it. You get to have that in heaven. That's how heaven is. Amen. Y'all got the victory. Jesus offers more than a better now. He offers a better what? And that's heaven today. The best gift that I can offer you is not the here and now. It's salvation. Because you get heaven coming to your heart today. Right, everybody? Would you close your eyes and bow your head with me right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you.